my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you remember, we've been talking about the feast of Allah, the month of Ramadan. We said the purpose of this month is to achieve proximity and closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and achieving righteousness. We also said Allah has sent His best and most beloved humankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, to invite His special guest, that is us, to His special feast, that is Ramadan. We have accepted this invitation, and therefore we need to know what we should do during this feast. We need to know the etiquettes of this month in order to be able to make the most out of this month. Inshallah, today we'll be talking about the etiquettes of Ramadan. Apart from the preparations we need to make before we go to any feast, and especially the feast of Allah, that is Ramadan, we need to know what we should do during this feast. There is generally a range of practices or observation we need to make when we are at the house of the host. For example, we need to know how we should interact with other guests, what we should say, what we shouldn't say. Are we going to sit next to the host? Do we try to make a good connection with the host? Do we stay for dinner or do we leave early? Or do we try to make the most out of the blessings or the great things that is present in the house of the host? Yes, indeed we do. We also try to learn from other guests. We also try to improve our akhlaq and our morality. And this is the same in the month of Ramadan. There is a range of practices we need to make at the house of the host, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brother, can you describe the holy month of Ramadan for us, please?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The holy month of Ramadan is the month of Allah, is a month that Allah tests our faith and our strength and our real belief in Islam. And it's an opportunity for us to feel for the poor and also to strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I think it's not so much a question of change. It's more a question of focusing and sharpening. Because really and truly, I think a Muslim should be what he is in the month of Ramadan, maybe in a slightly smaller way, with, you know, maybe less time and less emphasis. It's just this month, I mean, it sharpens you, it gives you more time to dwell into whatever that you need to dwell into. And I think one of the essays that I had read quite some time back of Ayatollah Jafar Subhani, which has a very deep effect, and that spoke of why does, you know, Allah want you to do so many of these spiritual things, like, you know, reading the Quran and so many things in a month in which you're so tired. You know, you're fasting all day, and normally a person would not do anything. You would probably just go to sleep, which is also an ibadah. But And one of the things that he explained is that, you know, because of all the hardship that you're going through, your body softens, and likewise your qalb softens, and that's why when you read the Quran or whatever, it goes into the qalb. It's easier for it to go into. So whatever spiritual thing that you do, it is easier for it to go inside the seat, you know, the actual place of the repository, which is the qalb.
What I learned from listening so many speakers and around and reading about the Quran is the more is a spiritual change and bringing and closing, getting closer to the God and trying to understand what is the hikmah and what is the reason behind giving this month of Ramadan. It's understanding while you do not have food and different resources, but you still are carrying on with your day-to-day life jobs and duties, and still remembering the people who do not have food and they are less well off on that time. That is a change bringing you, and especially is giving you the control on your nafs, so you can work out after the Ramadan as well. For example, if you do not have something, so you do not get angry or anything, so you have to control your angriness and you behave more rational, you rely on the natural resources and on your stamina and willpower, and that will give you the self-confidence and self-control on your body and around you, and you are like a more better person after keeping the fast for 30 days than before.
Something else we always take into account when we are at the house of the host is how we act. We try to keep ourselves mentally and physically fit. We speak properly, we smile. We also try to be happy. We always try to take a break or take some rest before we go to the house of the host in order to be able to be physically and mentally fit. For example, when we go to Islamic centers or when we go to a friend's house, what we do, we sit with them, we speak with them, we try to make a good connection with them. And for this, we need to be able to be physically well. Can we be at the house of Allah, can we attend the feast of Allah, that is Ramadan, without being physically fit? We need to take into account, and we need to care about our body. We need to care about our physical strength, as well as our mental and spiritual strength.
محمد وآل محمد يا مسلمين صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد وصح محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم السلام على خير خلقه أجمعين نبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وعلى أصحابه المنتجبين وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. Respected viewers, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the famous sermon of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, introducing the greatness of the month of Ramadan, we are told that towards the end of the sermon, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi posed a question to the Holy Prophet. A question that indeed we are grateful to Amir al-Mu'mineen for posing and for asking, for it is a question that most of us will probably ponder over and have heard many a times and seek to establish in this holy month. The question was, what is the best deed that people can perform in this holy month, in the month of Ramadan? And Rasulullah answered by saying, Al-wara' an maharimillah. Now, wara' is normally translated as taqwa, and taqwa is normally translated in English as piety. However, a better translation of taqwa is God consciousness, to be aware of the presence of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Approximately 245 references in the Holy Quran are made to the subject of taqwa. In other words, highlighting its significance and how the human being on the Day of Judgment will be judged upon the level of God consciousness that they displayed during their lifetime. Yet wara is more than taqwa. Wara is something more profound. According to many scholars, especially those of spirituality, they say that wara is the highest degree of taqwa. Because if you look at the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says quite wonderfully, and every word of the Almighty in the Quran is beautiful. He says, وَإِن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If you fast, it is better for you. Better for you in which sense? Better for you in all the various different degrees of benefit that the human being can reap and enjoy, both physically as well as spiritually, together with social benefits, political advantages, many aspects and facets of life. Wara is indeed what is referred to as the human being taking a precaution and siding with caution when it comes to areas of uncertainty. Because sometimes taqwa is deemed to be a negative trait. Taqwa is not barricading a human being inside their own homes or in their mosques or wherever they are. Taqwa is actually being aware of the presence of the Almighty and that everything is indeed in His presence, but at the same time creating and building a fortress, a protection around ourselves that indeed helps us. And the message of the Quran is simply that wara is not putting ourselves in situations whereby we may fall into sin. In what sense? In the sense that if, God forbid, we are sometimes in an area that we are inclined, or there is a satanic whisperings to somewhat push us towards the disobedience of Allah, push us towards sinning. I give you an example, like we are sitting amongst a group of people whom we know are constantly backbiting. Or we're sitting in front of the television screen and we know what is about to be shown, or a particular movie has some scenes and some clips that we are not permitted to gaze and look at with enjoyment and lustful desire. We know this will happen. Wara is building this commitment and this understanding and this form of readiness not to put ourselves in these situations, because the Quran comes forward and says what? And says, La taqrabu zina. Do not even get close to the idea of adultery or fornication. La taqrabu mal al yateem. How many times we have been told that prevention is better than cure? That it is better for you and I to ready ourselves, to prepare ourselves, to build this aura of spirituality, to build this aura of God consciousness, that we do not even place ourselves in difficult situations, and in case that we are in those difficult situations, that we may not be able to withstand and practice patience and stand our ground and not, God forbid, fall into sin. So not only is taqwa highly recommended, and the month of Ramadan is the school of taqwa and wara. It's the university of this important attribute and virtue, that on the day of Eid, the malaika give out these certificates to those who celebrate. But the certificate and the degree that is attained by those individuals who have graduated from the school of the month of Ramadan, so to speak, depends upon their commitment when it comes to practicing the element of taqwa and wara. How much they have gained and how much they can utilize outside the month of Ramadan. The key element is that our day of fasting must not be exactly the same as our non-fasting days. In other words, the fasting days should boost us in our search for a better life. This hayatu tayyibah that the Quran is talking about, the better life that is attained partly through the process of fasting, that the Quran says indeed it is better for us, better in every shape and form. Let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us establish taqwa in our lives, something that is a constant reminder that Allah is watching us, and Allah will note down everything, and that the day of judgment will be a day in which فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. An atom weight of good, an atom weight of bad will indeed be presented before us if we do not seek repentance and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, so that when we leave the month of Ramadan, we leave on an empty slate seeking to better ourselves. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallillahumma ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
رمضان تجلى وبدا سما طبال العبد إذا اغتنم. رمضان تجلى وبدا سما طبال العبد.
Something else we need to take into account when it comes to going to a feast or gathering is the physical strength. We need to have the physical strength to be able to go to the feast or gathering. Imagine yourself going to a party or a gathering or a feast and you are tired, your eyes are falling asleep. Would you be able to use the benefits of that feast? Would you be able to enjoy yourself in that feast or gathering? Of course not. In the same way, in the month of Ramadan, we need to have the physical strength to be able to fast during this month and benefit from all its blessings. In the same way, we need to look after our mental and spirituality. We need to look after our bodies as well.
If you were to describe the holy month of Ramadan, what would be the best sentence that you would describe the holy month?
Ramadan is the month of mercy, because God's mercy is always there, but in the month of Ramadan it's increased to another level that we can't even imagine, such that even our breaths and our sleeping are considered a glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how one verse of the Quran is equivalent to reciting the whole Quran. So really it's a time where the mercy of Allah really stands out for me and shines through, and it's really, you feel like every day and even every moment is an opportunity to just take as much of that mercy that is being showered on us as we can, and this kind of stays in our hearts, and till the next year it's like a time where we can drink from water for our souls, from the water of Allah's mercy, to quench our thirst for the coming year.
And the beautiful characteristic is just, you know, restraint from that which you love most for the sake of Allah, because food and drink, they are the most substances that a human needs to survive on a daily basis. So if you take that away from somebody, they will actually fight to take it back because they need it for survival. So the fact that Allah has taught us to restrain from that which we love most, this is in itself a beautiful lesson. And if we can do that, then what other desires, what other worldly desires can we abstain for fi sabilillah?
Ramadan is peaceful because all Muslims fast, which makes them all equal because they're all doing the same thing.
There are so many characteristics in Ramadan. It's the most special month. Forgiveness, asking as much forgiveness as you can, and Laylatul Qadr is the best holiday of the year. So there's so many characteristics of Ramadan that you can't even describe.
This month is the month of repenting to Allah. So this month is for asking forgiveness to Allah and becoming clean again from the sins that you have done. This is how I describe it.
We were talking about the etiquettes of the month of Ramadan, the range of practices or actions that we need to do before and during the month of Ramadan, as we do during and before any feast. But how about after feast, after the gathering? What do we have to do? Let's think about it. What do we usually do? After a feast, what we usually do is we call the host. We thank him for the hospitality. also we try to keep our good connection and relationship with Him. In the same way, after the month of Ramadan, we have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us the opportunity to fast during this month, and more generally, just to be present in His feast, and also try to make sure we keep our connection and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Rahim, Kareem, Azim, Alim, Halim, Hakim, Mateen.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. It is Sayyid Ali here again. We will continue our discussion regarding Ramadan, nutrition in Ramadan. We have already discussed in briefly and in detail issues which Ramadan brings about to your body, adverse metabolism rate, issues like reduced hydration levels, and also how to make sure that when we're eating right. Now, I touched a little bit about eating habits, especially at iftar time, in the previous episode, and I would like to continue that discussion. But before I start to talk about that, I would just like to make sure that we know that we need to maintain good hydration level. We need to make sure our metabolism rate is good enough for Ramadan, and we need to make sure that our body is very much functioning well because of this metabolism reduction in metabolism rate. We need to make sure that we are walking, or we are jogging lightly, or we're doing some sort of exercise, not during the fast, but after breaking the fast. Now, coming back to the topic as to what we should be eating, or even if we're not going to go into much detail as to what exactly we should be eating, but what exactly should be the content of what we're eating, it is very much essential that, which I have touched on before, that when we eat, when we are ready to break our fast, we do not overindulge ourselves. As mentioned before, the idea is not to overindulge, because you do not compensate for not eating for the entire 16 to 18 hours in one go. This is not how your body works. I have explained this before, and I will explain this again. Your gut is not used to it. It is in fasting mode. It is in survival mode. It is shrunk. It needs to be fed a normal quantity which it can handle. So when I mentioned before what is the most ideal food to have when you're ready to break your fast, I said dates. Simply because higher potassium level, excellent for your hydration, and it also makes you feel full. It gives you that very unique feeling of fullness, which also has a counter effect. Your body thinks you've had food even if you haven't, and you try not to indulge yourself. Now, coming back to the main meal, do not forget that this is not the only food you're going to have, but of course, followed by the date, you cannot really have a big main meal because your body is again in that feeling of fullness. So you need to give it some time, let's say 15 to 20 minutes, maybe even half an hour, which I normally do. And I think I use that time to pray, to make sure that I have prayed, and then I come back to the food. Not a practice followed by many, but a practice which I have found myself very healthy, very much it gives you that sort of feeling that you've done something good. So when you've had your date, when you've drank enough water, you go to pray or maybe do some other slight physical activity, and you come back to food. Now, what sort of food can we have at iftar? A very much popular question that is asked by many, but known by very few. The reason why I'm saying this is because when you break your fast, you have date, form of sugar, potassium, hydration. And then when you come back to food, you need to have something which is simple carbs. Now, this is a very much scientific term. Many of us will know, most of us will not know. But simple carbohydrates is things like, in easy language, potatoes, or bread, or even some form of honey. The reason why I say some form of honey is because there are many honey available in the market. But I'd say have some honey with milk. You can even top it up with the food that you're having. I normally add it to my porridge, but I also try not to have porridge every day at iftar. It's mostly suited for sahar, not iftar. I will come back to that later. But yes, try to have some honey in your food in one way or the other. Or what most people do is when they're having iftar, they try to add honey to their tea instead of sugar. Now, that is a very good thing to do, because I'm sure all of us know sugar is not good, but honey is good for your health. So it's something which is going to give you that, you know, instant kick of energy. Also, honey has this unique carbohydrate system where it tries to maintain same energy levels throughout its retention period. So let's say 6 to 8 hours, since you're up, your body will try to maintain the same energy levels. And it is very much essential that you try to eat something which gives you constant energy. I would normally have some salad. I would have some lean meat. I would have some potatoes. We can talk about what we need to have in the next few episodes, but we need to make sure that we remember that when you break iftar, it is simple carbohydrates that you're targeting and not something which makes you overindulge, not oily foods or anything like that. We will discuss more about this in our next episodes. Thank you very much.
Special guests of Allah, so we need to act like special guests. Today we discussed the etiquettes of the month of Ramadan. We discussed how we should prepare ourselves for this coming month. Also, we discussed what should we do during the month of Ramadan, how we can enjoy ourselves from the benefits and blessings of this feast of Allah. Also, we said what we should do after the month of Ramadan is over, how we can actually keep our relationship, our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's ask Allah to grant us the opportunity to make the best use of this month, and also help us to be able to keep our relationship with Him even after Ramadan. For now, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.